So let's go to our Bibles. We're actually going to start in James chapter 3. I love this text. As you know, I have the privilege of coming alongside folks quite regularly. And I'll be doing so tomorrow. And I was supposed to talk to some folks today, but I never told them I could. That's just what they requested. James, is that in the New Testament? It is. All right. This passage of Scripture, I turn to for my own good, but also to come alongside folks all of the time. I cannot tell you, in a year's time, and this I hesitate to give a number to it because it'd be an exaggeration or it'd be too few. But I would dare say at least a couple hundred times a year with people that really struggle with mental battles and especially with temptation itself. Let me give you this goofy illustration. Well, it's not really goofy, but I think it's applicable to what we're doing. And I may have already told you. If I've told you this, then please just tell me. We won't waste the time in going through it. Have I told you when I took our youth group to a maximum security youth facility? Yes or no? I think I'm hearing no. Okay. All right. We'll probably be doing that for the next 10 years. Have I told you about? All right. Because I'd been in juvenile work, and I was a youth pastor after that. Again, I was a youth pastor before, and I went to work for the state of Georgia in juvenile delinquency as a youth court service worker. And then afterwards, as I had a pretty good-sized youth group, and I got permission to take our youth group to a maximum security youth facility. And these are older teenagers. Some of them could have been tried as adults. Maximum security. These are murderers. These are just all kinds of heinous crimes. So we got in there. The concertina wires all over. I mean, it's a maximum security, high-tech kind of a thing. So we get in there, and with our teenagers, long story short, I don't want to take all the time on it, but I think it illustrates something. I'm going to need to do something first, though. All right. Hey, brother. How are you tonight? Good, you're good. Do you trust me? Now he was saying, yeah, but what's going on in his head go? His head kind of went, yeah. All right. Okay, may I borrow you for a second? You stay right there. You're fine. All right. You're just fine. Okay, so we get him in, and there's probably around 200 young people there. It wasn't like this auditorium where it was flat. It was more like a concert center, something like that, where the back row is about at the same level as the platform where the speaker is. And so our young people gave their testimonies. They sang and that kind of a thing, and just a really, really good thing. And again, it was around 200, maybe 150, 250, but just it was full of young people. And then our young people went out and sat with them when they were finished. So I'm preaching, and I'm probably as high as probably the top of the baptistry. Maybe not quite that. Yeah, probably close to top of that baptistry. Okay, is where the platform was. On either side of where the podium was were steps that came down. Okay, so I'm preaching away, and while I'm preaching, I took my notes, something like this, and I went like this, and I never stopped preaching. I never did. I just kept preaching, and I walked down. I came and I walked down the steps, and I walked over to the middle of the front row, to the young man. And I'm not really going to do it, but I walked over to the young man that was sitting right in the middle of the row, and I went pow, and I hit him upside the head, and it's water didn't start a riot. So I backed up real quickly. I never stopped preaching. I undid my notes. And I walked right back up the steps, put the notes down, never stopped preaching. Oh, about a minute later, 30 seconds, a minute later, I never stopped preaching. I just went like this. I wrapped up my notes. I walked over to the steps. I walked over to the same same young man on the front row, and I went like this, and he wasn't going to let me hit him the second time. He put his guard up just like that, and I said, I'm not going to hit you, I promise. Okay? The point is this, and I won't go into all the illustration about the juvenile facility. There's probably a number in that facility that had trusted Christ. When I was in juvenile work, I had to have some young people committed who I believe were genuinely saved. I was able to, my boss trusted me with the young people. He said, now if anything happens, it's on you. But I was able to get some of the young people who were on probation to me to the wilds, and two of them got saved. And so praise the Lord for that. But anyway, and let's bring it to our application. Let's don't worry about the juvenile facility. But the illustration is important because most of us do not make the devil to get very creative on how to tempt us. We let the devil use the same temptation, whether it's fear, whether it's jealousy, whether it's bitterness. He doesn't even have to mask it. He doesn't have to find a back door or a side window to get into our attention. He uses the same thing, bam, over and over. Bam, over and over. And for many of us, we let him use the same thing for years. And every time we do, it's discouragement. And boy, we're not worth a toot when it comes to discouragement. We just down in the mully grubs and everything is bad. And or whether it's anger or whatever it is, the devil just uses the same thing over and over and over again. That's why this is so important. That if you will get this down and work on it, it will mean all the world to you. And we're not going to finish tonight, so maybe we'll finish next time, okay? If you believe it's going to be a help. All right, so if it's going to be a help, we better get at it. All right, here we go. This is James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's what we're trying to do tonight. That's experiential knowledge. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Notice the two desperados that are mentioned in the next verse. Now, he talks about us. Let him show out of a, this is verse 13, out of a good conversation, that's your lifestyle. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If you have wisdom, if you could, I'll borrow your eyes for a second. If you have wisdom and you're not careful, it can lead to what? Pride, yeah. But if we have wisdom that is from God, then God is the enabler of that wisdom. Isn't that right? Now, there's earthly wisdom, and he talks about it in this region here, but we don't want earthly wisdom. We want wisdom that's from above, all right? So he says, but in contradistinction to works with meekness and wisdom, he said, but if you have bitter envying, there's the first desperado, and strife in your hearts, bitter envying. Well, if I could sing like... Or if I could, if I was wealthy, if I had half the money that this guy has or that lady has, I could trust the Lord too. That's kind of goofy. We all have to trust the Lord no matter what we have. Amen? Our next breath is in the hand of the Lord. Our next heartbeat. Okay, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, it doesn't have to reside there. Our conversation, our daily lifestyle, whether you work at a plant, whether you're a brain surgeon, or you live under a bridge, but you know the Lord is your Savior. Our lifestyle is to be made up of who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you, verse 13. Let him show out of a good conversation, a good lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. All right, but now let's look at verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above. He's talking about bitter envy and strife in your hearts, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And he's not necessarily talking about the church. Now, it's applicable to the church. Surely it is. But why would it be in the church? It's because an individual or individuals have bitter envying and strife. Okay? And that causes confusion, does it not? Ever heard of a church split? I know you probably haven't. Sure. Okay? Well, they put their britches on, fellas, just like we do. Ladies, they put their dresses on just like you do. But bitter envying is in there for whatever reason. And strife. All right? But, verse 17. Oh, this is good. Wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. What's the next word? Okay, right after pure, what's the next word? Amen. Ah. So he says, wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Oh, wait a minute. Can you be at peace and not have purity? Absolutely. Now, you won't have the peace of God. There's people, I had the privilege of coming alongside a man who bought airplanes for a hobby. He had 5 of them. The day he came to me and said, my life's miserable. And I've heard that you can help people. I was pastor of Temple Baptist down in Georgia at the time. And so you can be at peace and having, okay, boy, this is a beach craft bonanza. Man, this is great. Hurrah! Oh, man, this is good. Flying at whatever, 180 or 200 mile an hour. This is wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. Life is so good. But you can't have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Here's the point. But wisdom that is from above is first pure. If we're going to deal with James chapter 4, we're going to have to understand that we've got to be willing to do battle to keep our minds pure. Amen? Now, your TV is probably not like mine. Okay? Probably is not. Your TV probably has a halo over it. And when you're watching commercials, not a thing ever comes up on a commercial that would be inappropriate. No. We all have the same challenge if we have a TV. Or just life in general at the mall. And for me, that's an annual event. But when I do go to the mall, I mean, people are not dressed appropriately and so forth. So we have to, okay, it's first pure, then peaceable. And easy to be entreated. When purity is what is the reservoir of peace, and it's the reservoir of how our associations are with others, when it's pure and any defilement that goes in, whoa, that doesn't belong here, and that scoop gets it out like people cleaning the baptistry talked about. They get one of those nets that scoops it over. No, there's a bug doing a backstroke in there. We don't want to baptize with that. And you scoop it up and you get that rascal out of there. Okay? When we think about battles of the mind, purity is to be the gatekeeper of peace and everything else that's in here. We don't have time to go into all of it. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Notice verse 18, a really outstanding verse. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Years ago, when I went to Temple in Athens, Georgia, the former pastor was a former farmer. And back, I lived in a parsonage. That's the only other time I've lived in a parsonage. And the parsonage right behind the church, and there in the yard, he had put a wonderful garden. And he'd feed the whole church. I mean, corn and okra and watermelon and all of that. And I had been a youth pastor all these years, and I was now a brand new pastor, and I thought, I can't, man, if they loved him like that, I ought to be able to do that too. And so I got somebody to plow it up again for me. And I read what was on the back of the packages, and I just knew this is going to be great. And I told the church, folks, we're going to do it again, and it's going to be exciting. I bought corn, and I bought taters, and I bought this, and I got that, and I got all the other thing. And I read on the back of the watermelon that you're supposed to put it on a mound. I still see it. On a mound. And so one of the farmers, after I got everything in, and he was looking at what I had put out there, and he was looking at me, and he saw that. He said, what is that? Oh, I popped my chest out. That's my watermelon bump, or my watermelon, whatever you call it, mound. That's my watermelon mound. He said, that's not a mound, that's a pimple. It was about this big. Well, long story short, nothing came up. I think we did get some cucumbers. I believe we got cucumbers. And they may be hard to kill. I don't know. But nothing else ever manufactured. I gave that up. It just didn't work out. Now, here's the point. and the fruit of righteousness. Now, when do you get fruit? At the time of planting or at the time of harvest? Okay. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In other words, if I'm going to have okra, I'm going to have to put a seed in there. And embodied in that seed is mature okra. If it's in the right conditions, receives all the right nourishment and water and everything it needs, it has everything it needs in that seed to mature. And he is saying here, after we've talked about envy and bitter strife and earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, first pure and gentle and so forth, easy to be entreated, but he comes down and he says this, that before we get to James 4, if we get to it, he says, the fruit of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want a bucket load of that. I don't want to have scars and calluses and all of that. I want to have fruit of righteousness. But what he's saying here is I've got to look ahead. I need to be a visionary of what needs to be in my life in its small form. That everything in that ambition, everything in that attitude, everything in that association has embedded in it righteousness and purity and God's will embedded in it, so that as I sow it in peace, I put it in there, that at the ministry of God in my life and in my heart, that once it's matured, the fruit of righteousness will be there. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? All right. Now, with that in mind, let's take about 5 minutes and look at James 4 now. All right. Notice, if you will, as he states in James 4, all right, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what is on the morrow. For what is a day? For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's a good passage, but I skipped right by where I was going. Go back, if you will. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We've talked about that in a service. In other words, will is the Greek word bulimai, has the idea to determine intentionally. Doesn't say you're doing it. It says that you determine. If I could do that, I would. And so you latch on to it. Or you're actually doing it. So he says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, that earthly wisdom part. He says, you just want that. And you latch on to it because your will wants it. And if you could get away with it, you would do it. Or you're going to do it anyway. Okay? He says, you're immediately the enemy of God. Okay? Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The word lust there has the idea of passion. Brother Steve, the Holy Spirit's passionate about the purity in your life. Sister Annie, each one of us, the Holy Spirit is passionate about our walk with God. So that's why he gets into mental purity. He says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Okay, passage chapter 3 that he talked about. God resisteth the proud. No, you're on your own. You're on your own. But he giveth grace unto the humble. All right, now I'm going to go through it rather quickly, and we will go back to it, Lord willing, next week if you want to. Okay? So if you got a pencil or a pen, I'm going to give you what some of these words mean as they meant in the first century. There's nothing wrong. It's everything right. But sometimes in knowing how it was used in the first century adds a little light to what you have. Okay? Notice the next word. What's the next word? Okay? One more time. What's the next word? This is the first word on verse 7. All right, let's give it a little more volume than that. All right, folks at home, you got to say it out loudly. All right, here we go. What's the first word? Submit. Ah, there you go. Submit. Here's what it meant in the first century. It meant to leave where you are and go where you need to be. to leave where you are and go where you need to be. All right? I need some volunteers, all right? Since I already picked on this brother. Could I borrow you two gentlemen? Could I get you to come up? I'm not going to hit you, I promise, because you're bigger than I am. All right. If you'll come up. Let's see. Brother, if you'll just stand right here, if you will, okay? And brother, if you'll stand right over there. Okay. This is representing a Christian who is dealing with what we're talking about. Okay? And let's say it's something, and he's a gentleman. He's a gentleman and a gentleman, from everything I can tell. Okay? And so let's say that he has a real problem. He doesn't, I'm sure. But let's say that he has a real problem with anger. He just wakes up that way. He goes to bed that way. And he knows it's sin. But he's given into it time and time and time again, like the illustration. Bam, bam, bam. Okay? And so he comes across this passage, and he realizes, I don't have to stay that way. It's part of my personality that way. But God changes our personality when we study the Word of God. But with an open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord. Remember that? We are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So my brother says, I don't want to do that anymore. But I just give into it. I don't even have to think about it. It's not even a habit now. It's an instinct. I just automatically go to it. Okay, so that's my brother. You sure you don't mind if I use you? Okay, he represents God. Okay, is that okay? Are you relieved now? All right, okay. All right, so he represents the Lord. So here's what submit means. All right, let's go one more. All right, who has a granddaughter? Okay. Is it Miss Sandra?
Sandy.
Sandy? Okay, Miss Sandy. All right. I shouldn't do that. Yeah, well, I'll just change it a little bit. Okay. Now, let's say, this is not in regard to these men. Let me pause on that. Let me pass on that, okay? It just takes too much time to go into it. All right, let's say that he has a real anger problem, okay? And he knows the source of that anger problem. It is at work, or it is things are not exactly like they're supposed to be. The socks are not parallel with the other same colored socks and so forth, all right? And I'm sure that's probably the case, or not the case, I don't know. But let's say that he just really gets angry at it, okay? I think some people are getting under conviction already. All right, I'm teasing. So here we go. So what happens is over and over again, he gives into the same thing. Submit means this. He knows this is sin and he wants to get over it. Before we get to the word submit, here's what my brother needs to do and my sister needs to do and my sister and my brother and me and I is to recognize that he needs God's help. Amen? To do it on his own, he would have stopped it a long time ago. But he needs God's help. But what needs to happen is he needs to be able to recognize the ugly face of temptation coming his way. He needs to do a study on what gets him in that frame of thought. And it just comes in and slaps him around. I call it the ugly face of temptation. All right, forget that I was going to use Miss Sandy. Let me just give a general thing, all right? Here's what I use all the time, and I use it with siblings or whatever. And long story short, let's say that that you're standing out in, just anyone in here, you're standing out in the front yard, and you're playing catch with your little sister or your little brother. And let's say that there is a child abuser coming down the street. And you know that, he's on the register, and you know that individual, and he comes down, he's walking right in front, getting almost up to the house, and he starts waving at your little brother or sister. And he happens to know their name. And so he starts to turn into the sidewalk. How many of you have younger brothers and sisters? Do you have younger brothers and sisters? Okay. And let's say that you both were young. You were a teenager or whatever. Okay. Or maybe you're a child. So you see, we'll call him Herman. And Herman's coming down and he's turning in and you know what he's got in his mind. So probably what you would do is say, hey, Herm, come on in. Let's have a cookie together. We have some homemade cookies. They're in the house, and we'll sit down. Oh, those are new tennis shoes you got on. Man, those are great. Is that what you do? No. And especially if it's a lady, her fingernails would probably come out about that long. Fangs would boom down about this long. And she would say something to Herman like, if you take another step, you're going to wish your grandparents never had children, okay? I think I've mentioned that before. Now, here's my point. I'm not trying to be facetious, but all this is necessary if it's going to be successful. Because my brother has got to understand, if he allows the same kind of thing to do it over and over and over, it's going to be from now on. But once he understands, I am sick and tired. This is sin, and I'm letting the devil beat me up, and I don't have to, because the Bible says in Corinthians, there's not a single temptation I have to fall. God's going to provide a means of escape whereby I'm able to bear it. So the only reason I get mad is because I'm allowing myself, and I want to get mad by way of temptation. So here's what I suggest, is when he realizes he's going to fail again. The first word is submit. He sees Herman coming down the street. But it's not Herman, it's his temptation that he recognizes. He knows the smell of it. He knows the look of it. He knows the emotion of it. So what he does, because he knows he can't do it on his own, he follows this formula. Number one is submit. So what he does is he comes over, if you would please. If you'll come over right over here. And that's good right there. And what he does is he comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, I recognize I'm wanting to get mad or whatever the temptation is. I'm wanting to be discouraged, whatever it is. But I know that that's sin because it's not faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and it has beat me up, it has hurt my testimony, it has hurt my family, whatever it is, and but Lord, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, and so Lord, I need your help because you said, submit yourself therefore to God when we're in temptation. Because he's dealing with that in here, isn't he, in that whole context, okay? Then after he has submitted to God, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. What's the next phrase? Resist the devil. The word resist has the idea of face to face. Some temptations you run from. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. That's pick them up and put them down. Run from it. There's other temptations that just slap you around. They just devastate you. They kneecap you. They just over and over and over, people that have been abused. I dealt with a lady, forgive me the illustration, but a lady was gang raped when she was a teenager. I don't know if I've told that in here or not. Awful thing. She was a young high school girl. The captain of the football team said, hey, would you like to go out on a date with me? And long story short, we'll go into all the details. She said, well, sure. Well, he took her to a place where a bunch of football players were waiting. And they did that. Okay, and we'll go into all the detail. She finished school, got married. I became her pastor after she and her husband had been married 26 years. They're professionals. He was getting his doctorate there at the University of Georgia and started coming to our church. It wasn't long she came to see me. She said, preacher, I need help. I can't stand it anymore. They'd been married 26 years, and for 26 years, she and her husband had never been able to have an intimate relationship because every time he'd start romancing her, and she would start enjoying it, what happened 26 years earlier would come in and everything was ruined. 26 years. I went to this passage of scripture and I shared with her what I'm sharing with you as I've done many, many, many others. So that you know the end of that story. And we went through it. It's hard, hard work because it's there. It's right there with you. Okay, but when you take a step away by submitting yourself therefore to God, and then we don't have time to get into resist much, but resist means face to face. All right, let me tell you what Randy Bray does to this day. When I'm in that kind of a setting and temptation doesn't come, we just left our house for the last time down in Shelby. Amen, hallelujah. I get to pastor Calvary Baptist Church. Praise the Lord. You're stuck with me. No, you're not. No, you're not. I know better. So here's the point, is that here's what I do. When I'm inundated with whatever it is, discouragement, whatever it is, and I've done this for so many years, I've gotten fast at it, but not perfectly so. I still sin, 1 John 1, okay? But what I do when I know Herman, I see Herman coming down the road. I know I'm wanting to get discouraged. Or I know I'm wanting to get proudful. Or I know I'm wanting to get whatever. Whoa! And the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not right. Okay? And he warns me. And he warns you too, doesn't he? Here's what I do. You don't have to do it. It's very simple. It almost sounds adolescent or childlike. Okay? But here's what I do because it has the idea to resist the devil. He's already standing. He's already submitted himself to God. Now he is standing. Now here's what I do, and he's to resist the devil. I pick out a place. I've had to do this while I'm preaching. I've done it so long, I can get fast at it. At first, it's hard work, but it pays off. Oh, I didn't tell you the end of the story. She came to me about 2 months later. She said, "Preacher, it works. It works." I hadn't seen them when we moved to Asheville. I hadn't seen him in years. He finished his doctorate. He traveled all over the country for several years in giving lectures to universities. And then they retired. They're wealthy. They just travel all the time. They popped in at Temple Baptist in Asheville. And I asked her, I said, "How's it going?" Thumbs up. Praise the Lord. So there's victory. Here's the point. Here's what I do, and we'll quit. What I do is I pick a spot. If I'm in church, it's a spot on the church somewhere. If I'm in a room, I pick out a spot. If I'm out in the open, I pick out a tree or I pick out something else, something that my eyes can focus on, okay? And again, this may sound juvenile to you, but it works. And it's worked for many, many, many people. For some, they do really well and they get weary in well-doing and they can go right back, okay? But for the ones that stay after, I can tell you person after person after person that have been abused in their minds all the time, I can just go on and on and on. Here's what I do. I pick a spot and I call it the devil because that's where it originates, doesn't it? Temptation comes from above, not from above, but earthly, all right? So I pick a spot and I say, "Devil, I know what you're trying to do." I mean, I don't take my eyes off of it. "I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to give in to that same temptation. But I've already submitted myself to God. And he says, God says in his word, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So devil, and here's what I do. I do the same way every time. So that's just like those who do firearms. They teach you to do it the same way every single time, every single time, every single time. You do it the same way so that if you're ever in a place where you have to do something, you're not trying to figure out where to put your hand. So that's why I did this. But I say, "Devil, I know what you're trying to do. But I've already submitted to God and already said, all right, then here's what I say. I may have done that yesterday, but if I did, I've gotten it right with the Lord," or I will, but I've gotten it right with the Lord, or I don't think I even did it yesterday, but yesterday's not here. And devil, I may do it tomorrow, but tomorrow's not here. But today is, I have already submitted to God, and you just leave." Here's the point. Temptation for me never comes like this little stream. Well, that's where I was talking about. The little stream that was by our house, behind our house there in Shelby, Pebble Creek. Okay. Temptation comes more like Niagara River. It's huge and it has great power to it. But you write it down and I'll sign it. If you'll do what God says here, submit, leave where you are, move to where God is, not necessarily geographically like we are here from one spot, but in your mind and in your thoughts, and you say, "Wait a minute, if I try to do, I'm going to fail again and again and again," just like preacher did with that, I'm going to come to God because I don't want to give in to it. I want a victory in my life. I don't want to be thinking about things that happened 30 years ago or 3 weeks ago or whatever it was. Devil, may have happened yesterday, but may happen tomorrow, but it's not here. I've already resisted. I've already said, "Devil, flee from me." Here's what happens, is the temptation goes very quickly from the force of Niagara River, and you're going to sense very quickly The thrust of the temptation itself to get mad, to get discouraged, to get whatever it is, it starts out like this because you really want to give into it because your passions are going to want to. Every one of us are drawn away of our own passions and enticed, our own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So your passion is involved in it. No wonder it's huge. But when your passion is greater to have victory in your life than to have pleasure in sin for a season or just give in to discouragement because you've done it so much, it's like pictures on a wall. You've gotten comfortable with it. But if you'll do it, you're going to find that the thrust of the temptation goes like this. And before, just not long at all, minutes, sometimes seconds, it's like the little stream that's behind my house. It's usually about that deep. Maybe some places it's deeper, maybe up to there. But most of the places around behind my house was only about that deep. And then, what does the rest of it say? And I'll be finished. After it says, submit yourselves therefore, resist the devil. What does it say? And he will what? Niagara stream. And he will flee from you. And that's the end of it. No, it's not. What does it say then? Okay, help me out. What does it say? Draw nigh to God. Let me ask you a question real quickly. How many of you would rather me continue it or just finish it right now? I can finish it in about 5 minutes. Finish it? Okay. All right. So we've already resisted the devil. It's gone from Niagara to Pebble Creek. He says, draw nigh to God. When I first started studying this, I thought that's redundant. Redundant just means you've already said it. My brother here left where, I'm making you stand forever, aren't I? My brother left from over here. He came near to where God was, so to speak, heart to heart. So if he's near to God, why does it say draw nigh to God? The word draw nigh means you're close, but you want to be closer. How many of you are grandpas? Any grandpas here? All right, who have I not picked on? All right, Brother Allen. All right. Tell me a grandbaby's name.
Aiden.
Aiden, okay. Now, it may not have happened, but just we'll say maybe it has. Let's see. Has there ever been a time when you're just sitting down? Is Aiden? Okay. You're sitting down and Aiden comes up and sits real close to you. Has there ever been a time like that? Okay. Okay. Okay, so he's close to you, right? Okay. Has there ever been a time, and it may not have been, you don't need to manufacture it, has there ever been a time when sitting next to you wasn't good enough and he crawled up in your lap? That's draw nigh. You're close, but you want to be closer. But that's not the end of it. Okay? What you're doing, and here's what I do. Okay? Here's my application of draw nigh. I've already submitted. The devil's resisted. I've resisted the devil. The temptation's already left. And it says, draw nigh to God. Here's what I do. I immediately go to the Holy Spirit. I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because if you hadn't warned me that I was in temptation, it would have mowed me over one more time. That's drawing nigh. Thank you, Father. Okay? So now let me ask you a question. And we all know Brother Allen pretty well. Okay? And we know this is probably what happened. When Aiden crawled up in his lap, and here's Brother Allen sitting like this, and Aiden sits in his, and he sits over here, and then he crawls up in Grandpa's lap, and here's what Grandpa probably did. Get off. No. Notice the last phrase in that verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and guess what? He will draw nigh to you. You know what God does? He wraps his arms around you, just like Grandpa would. Say, I love you. So each one of us have to deal with temptation. Every one of us. And it's really a matter of, what are you willing to live with? Or do you want victory in that intimate relationship with the Father? What a glorious thing this is. If you'll do this, I promise you it will change your life if you battle mental battles, and many do, with discouragement, with whatever, things of the past that just, you've justified bitterness or whatever it is. If you'll deal with it like this and you'll stay at it, It may take you 50 times a day. I've had them do it 100 times a day. Maybe it's only 20. But it will very quickly go from 100 to 50 to 75 to 25 to 15 and on down. What a glorious text this is for victory in Christ. Okay? All right. Does any of this make sense? Yay or nay? Yay? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, God, and thank you, brother. All right. That's G with a little G. That's God with a little G, not a big G. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And I kept you standing a long time. I hope you don't have... Now, I'm probably going to find out that they both have rheumatism and arthritis and everything else, and I probably caused some pain there, but thank you for your help in that. But usually a visual aid like that helps a lot. Thank you very much. All right. Let's very quickly take prayer requests, and we will just, if you'll forgive me tonight, and I'm determined to stop teaching at a quarter till, normally speaking, but just... We won't do this again next week then. So if you have any trouble with it, and it's a struggle, it's a fight, because you're fighting the devil, you're fighting your flesh. So if you struggle with it, don't give up. Call me. We'll go through it together. Okay? And if you need just 3 o'clock in the morning, call me. Doesn't matter. Actually, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, call Brother Jesse. But no, I'm teasing. But seriously, don't live anymore like that. You can't do it. The devil's going to, your flesh is going to tell you, it's good for Bray, it's good for whomever, but you've had this too long. You don't deserve it. You're dirty. Okay? I had a young person who's been horribly abused. Horribly abused. Just last week told me. I'm dirty. I'm ugly. And just all that goes with it. And I've got a call. I got a call 2 days ago from someone who's helping someone, a former student who's suicidal. Not the former student is, but somebody that's in the church is suicidal. And all kinds of problems in their family. Probably abuse. Who knows? So the point is, the devil hates every one of us. If he could send every one of us to hell, he would. But he can't take your salvation. But he can take your walk with God if you let him and if I let him. And there's been many a Christian, many a preacher that's let him. Let's don't be among them. Amen? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And victory is ours through Christ. But it comes with a fight. Be more determined than the devil is. Okay? And it'll pay off. And you'll enjoy the rest of your years saying, I see that ugly face, I recognize it, and we're still going to get broadsided. We're still going to have things hit us, and we just have to get it right. But the things that beat us up regularly, that's where we have to stop it. Okay? All right.